Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago on a gloomy Sunday morn. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
I'm thinking we should always record when you have laryngitis because you didn't blow my ears out when you said welcome to another edition of the Big Red Bus. You know, it's like I can still hear. You know, my ears weren't blown out, so maybe that's the key. I'm doing well. No complaints. We're nearing up to the trade deadline, which is, you know, potentially shaping up to be interesting for the Bulls. At least we have a rumor to discuss for the first time in a while. And yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yes, and my apologies to the audience. My golden tones are obviously affected by a severe case of laryngitis. Actually, it's part of the reason why we haven't recorded in so long, as I've struggled to get back. You know, it's bearable, I think, and so just bear with me and enjoy the intelligence that comes out. Bulls currently 21-25, 2.5 games behind the Magic for the and relegated to the 9th seed. The Bulls are 9, Magic are 8. They're actually 3 games behind the Heat for 7, and they're actually 2.5 games up on the Nets. I think we would both agree, at least I would make the statement, I'm pretty comfortable to say that I think the Bulls are going to, if they don't make any moves, we'll finish the season, and there's not, you know, for any horrible injuries. I think it's pretty, I'm pretty comfortable to say, I think the Bulls are probably going to finish 7, 8, or 9. What say you?
Oh, I mean, their odds of finishing 7 are probably no better than their odds of finishing 10th, or even 11th. So, you know, it's really a stretch of positivity to throw that in there. I mean, Miami just made a trade that should make them better, and they have got a 3-game lead
on
us.
They've also lost 6 in a row.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Bulls have lost 2 in a row. Like, I don't know. Like, who cares? They're 3 games better than us. You know, what you've done on the season matters. Whatever. We're not going to make 7. You can throw that out there. I think it's pretty okay. Highly likely that we're just locked into 9. I'm just gonna say that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, we could maybe pass Orlando. They've not played well. You know, I think as you pointed out last podcast, they're still not playing well. But I think they just have more talent than us, and they've got a 2.5 game lead. And it's not like the Bulls have been just destroying it lately either. You know, we're kind of floating around a little bit above 500. You know, I think last time you predicted
below.
Yes, I mean, sorry, I mean, they're floating around 500 in terms of recent performance, not in terms of their overall record, yeah, to be clear. A little bit better than that, you know, like I'd say probably winning maybe, what do you think they'd win the rest of the season? 60% of the games, 58% of the games?
The Bulls were going to win 68% of the remaining games.
No, I said 58, 58, 60. Like, what do you think they'll do?
I think they're going to finish around 500. I think so. I think they'll win maybe – they'll finish – I think they're going to finish right probably at like 42 and 40, 41
because
so,
I believe if I'm
– So I guess if
I'm not mistaken, didn't last show you predict 38 wins, 39 wins, and I predicted 42?
I don't remember predicting that, but I've been ill for the last couple of weeks, so it's possible.
Yeah, you were. I don't remember your exact number. Maybe you're at 40, but you're a little less than me, and I said 42. I think we're 4 games under 500 now. 42 wins would mean, you know, a shift from 400 to +2. So I think the Magic and the Heat are going to win more than 42 games, like in the end of the day, and I don't see the Bulls getting above that number.
Okay. Well, maybe this will change your tune. I think we're both simpatico, though. The Bulls are likely, if they don't make any moves, going to be at least an 8 or 9,
they're,
10
They're going
to
be in the play-in, right?
They're going to be in the play-in.
We really want to get to 8. There. Like, it's to the extent any of this matters, getting to 8 is really important. You know, it's like, because if you get to 8, you need to win 1 game to make it to the playoffs. At 9, you got to win 2. And that's just a big difference, right? You know, so you want to get to 8 if you can.
And in the effort to get to 8, from The Athletic, James Edwards III had an interesting little nugget about our beloved Bull, about their potential trade package involving Zach LaVine. And Doug, I don't know if you feel this way. Before we get into this, I do want to start. I found this year extremely frustrating with the fact that, you know, very few people believe Coby White could ascend to the level where he's hit before the season. And we've had that. We've had a player, a young player at 23 years of age, ascend to, by all accounts, most people, objective observers would say, very good status at the point guard position. He's improved in every aspect of his game. And when you have that kind of jump from a young player, all you really needed was for the other remaining quote-unquote big three to remain kind of like in the same level of where they were playing. And I think you got maybe a potential surprise team. Instead, what we got was Zach LaVine taking a massive drop, and something that you or I probably didn't expect or really could predict. And, you know, you had slight declines from Vooch and DeRozan, which is exactly what I think we both probably expected before the season started. That's what I found so frustrating about this season. Do you agree with that?
The only thing I would disagree with, and I don't think I'm generally in the same spot as you there. I actually think that outside of health, DeMar and Vooch have made just as big of declines as Zach. Like on the year, Zach's true shooting percentage, his, you know, offensive efficiency, is at 57.8%. DeRozan's at 56.5%. DeRozan and Zach were both around 60% guys. So DeRozan's had an equal drop in efficiency. Vucevic went from 58% down to 53%. But that's kind of a little bit below his career average at 53%, but it's not unusual for him. Last year's Vooch numbers were kind of an outlier in terms of his efficiency for his career. But either way, those two guys have dropped a ton in efficiency. So Zach has obviously dropped a lot in volume, and it's hard to think about it, I guess, fairly, because of when Zach went out, the team had a big step forward. Coby broke out, maybe taking on a lot of the Zach type role. But I don't think the other guys' drops are any less. Like Vooch going down to a way below average offensive efficiency player from a slightly above average one is a huge, huge shift, especially given how many shots we give that guy relative to how good he is. It's insane. I should look at this one time just to see who is the least efficient shot scorer in the league in terms of true shooting percentage that gets at least 15 looks a game. And it might be Vooch. It might be. So I guess I just would not discount how much the other guys have dropped off as well.
That's a great point. However, you're discounting the fact that he is leading the league, Vooch, in hockey assists.
Yeah, and probably he's whatever a double-double machine.
Whatever the hell that means.
He's a double-double machine.
Yeah, he's a double-double yeah. machine. No, and you do bring a great point about him. I know you're going to scoff, but his decline into the worst, literally, the worst three-point shooter based on volume, based on how open he is when he shoots these shots in the league, sub 28% or right around 28% is just catastrophic for the ceiling of this offense. As I stated many times, every big win the Bulls had last year against Milwaukee, the big wins they had against Boston, almost everyone also included Vooch going, 3 for 6 from the three-point line with some big shots in the third quarter, or 4 for 8 or whatever. That's gone. I mean, he's become a horrific three-point shooter who still throws up 3 per game, and just he's become a constrict 5. So that is absolute cancer for the Bulls offense and the ceiling of this team. So great point there. That said, though, I still feel like Zach LaVine, the way he was playing at the end of last season, literally one of the top 5 players in offensive efficiency from the All-Star break on, awesome, fantastic player, to now he's hurt, in and out of the lineup, and when he is in the lineup, I don't even know what this is. He's not even remotely approaching where he was, is one of the most disappointing aspects for me out of the season. I expected Vooch to suck. I expected DeMar to take a decline. I didn't expect Zach to do this. That's my point.
Well, Zach's been wildly inconsistent throughout his career, right? Even last year, so he ended the season, I agree, his decline from the end of the season where he was a legit 30 point, 50, 40, 90 guy. to this is massive. But he was absolutely awful at the beginning of last year. So, like, he's just an up-and-down guy. Like, just historically, he's an up-and-down guy. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Zach LaVine stays here after the deadline, and then all of a sudden he's like, all right, this is what it is, and then kicks it into gear. And I'm not saying that's for sure going to happen, but it's just like you've seen Zach do that for, like, months at a time, and then just go through months where you're like, just what is going on here? It doesn't mean we'll get good Zach back ever, but we've seen bad Zach for a half season a number of times, and then still his end of season stats are like right there. You know, like if you were to compare him to Kobe White today, he's still scoring more per game than Kobe White, and his efficiency is about the same.
Yeah, it's just frustrating because, again, and also I didn't mention Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso has been fantastic on the offensive end this year, unlike in past seasons. So he's been incredible on both ends of the court. And, you know, so you get an Io with a fantastic comeback here. You have three real meteors or phoenixes, like, shooting into the horizon in Kobe White, Io, and Caruso. And you're just middling because of the decline of the big three. But good points. But let's get into this. Right. James Edwards, according to The Athletic, similarly, the Chicago Bulls and Pistons have had conversations involving Zach LaVine, league sources say. Chicago appears to be locked in on a package involving Bojan Bogdanovic and one of Detroit's blue chippers for LaVine and his hefty contract. That's my dog barking, so she's not a big fan of this deal. Once again, the Pistons have shown no interest in parting with any of Cunningham, Ivy, Durin, or Thompson. Is it possible Detroit considers adding LaVine when and if the Bulls' asking price goes down? These discussions have been... So basically, I'd love to get your opinion on this. Again, to me, this shows like this front office is just completely locked in on improving the team as it is and trying to get better and add even vet pieces like Bojan to this team and try to compete for, you know, 8-7-6 in a first-round exit. But definitely, they're not looking to rebuild. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, that's obvious. There's zero part of me that thinks we're going to rebuild. Like, is there any part of you that thinks we're going to rebuild? There's no hint of it in the news. Everything you've heard is the opposite of that. There's just no remote reason to think we're going to make anything other than win now moves.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, you've probably asked me that question every week for like 2 years, and every week I say it sucks. So, I mean, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's like, it's not even I want to say it this way. I'm not saying, let's go tank. Let's strip down to the studs. Let's be a 10-win team for 5 years and hope we get the number one pick in the draft in the right year. But, like, at some point, like, it was obvious a year ago. I called it last year in the summer. And by last year, I mean 2022 summer, not 2023 summer. Like, you got to trade DeMar and Vooch right now. Their values are never going to be higher. What you have going is not replicable. Just trade them. Well, like, if you had done that and you had gotten like a plethora of young picks, like I had a strategy that was going to get us like 10 to 15 extra first round picks, and it was going to keep Kobe White, Io, Pat Williams, and whatever. Like, I wouldn't have kept Caruso, but it would have kept all your other young guys. Like, wouldn't you rather have that right now? Like, Kobe White would still ascend.
Oh, of course.
Pat Williams would still be like, whatever, like trending towards a starter, and then you would have Io, who looks like he'd be good, and then you just have like a ton of picks, and they wouldn't be all high upside picks. But like, what? Like, you then fill in the gaps, and you're like a 35-win team, and then you have like this path forward, to build something, and we don't have that now. We're gonna float around. You know what they're gonna do next offseason? I mean, we'll see what happens at the trade deadline, but I could totally see us trading for Bogdanovic, because with Zach out of the lineup, that's a total win now move. Would help us. And then if we do that move, you know what makes the most sense this offseason? Keep DeMar DeRozan. because you're not going to be able to easily reuse his money somewhere else. You're going to fall into the bird rights trap, and you're going to be trying to like figure out how you can win 42, 43 games. Then you're going to sign him for 3 years. Then we've already seen the significant decline this year. And how do you think that's going to go over the next 3 years? So it's just like they're not on any path that makes me think we could even get to six. Like, I'll just put it that way. Ignore it. I don't think we're on a path to ever get out of the play-in with these guys running. Like, everything about the way they manage it is like, there's no upside. It's all like low ceiling moves. You know, we're going to sell off all our upside to slightly increase our ceiling. And it's just the opposite of how you manage something if you want significant growth. If you want significant growth, you have to take big risks. You need high upside moves. And they've had those types of moves, I think, on the table where there's at least some upside, and they just won't take them.
See, I think it's possible to get better in trading for lesser players. And what I mean by that, nobody thinks that Zach LaVine is a worse player than Bojan, right? But offensive chemistry is important. Offensive geometry is important. If you look at the Cavaliers are 9-1 in their last 10. There's something like, I think, 14-3 since Garland and Mobley went out of the lineup. But what happened? Garland's not a good defender. He's not a good player next to Donovan Mitchell. You put Okoro in there, who's a fantastic defender, and suddenly the team is playing better. And I'm not arguing that Okoro's better than Garland. He's not overall as a player. But he's a much better defender, and he's a much better fit for what they have there. The Bulls have no offensive geometry, defense as a team, not just offense or defensive. When your three best players are Zach, Vooch, and DeMar DeRozan, all three of those players are subpar defensively. You don't have that chemistry. You don't have that. It's not a team built to win because you're forced into a drop defense with Vooch as your center. You don't have, and that's what I found most disturbing is, who do these guys want to trade offer to Cleveland? Let's get Garland. How is Garland and Coby White a good backcourt? How is that like a good combination? It's insanity to me that they would think that's a good move to make, to trade for Garland, who doesn't shoot a ton of threes, who's horrible defensively. And you don't have anybody to clean it up in the paint. Still, like, why aren't you trying to turn Zach into a rim defender? Why aren't you trying to turn Zach into something that could really help you defensively? Instead, we're going for another shooter who's subpar defensively. I have zero confidence in what they're going to build in terms of acquiring pieces that really fit well together. That's been the heart of my problem with this team is the three best players do not work or fit well together. That's not a debate anymore. They just don't.
Well, the problem is...
especially defensively.
The problem is people think the three best players are Zach, DeMar, and Vooch. Vooch is probably like the 8th or 9th, maybe 10th best player on this team. Like, that just is what it is.
I wouldn't go that far.
You should. What does Vooch add to this team that makes it better?
He's a good defensive rebounder.
Okay.
That's a positive.
Andre Drummond is a better rebounder. Okay. So we have a better guy on a $3 million contract than Vooch at the thing you just said he's best at. So what's his next best thing he helps you with?
He's a good passer for a center.
Okay. How much is that worth in wins?
He's a good facilitator.
How much is that worth in wins, do you think? Being a good passer for a center.
Not a lot. Based on how our offense has been, it's not
basically
a lot.
Zero. It's worth zero. So yeah. He's like the least efficient center in the league, scoring the ball. Like, he's a terrible offensive player. I want to get that through people's head. He is a terrible offensive player. He is way below average, the league average, in offensive efficiency at a position where every single one of his peers is like 10% above it. He is a terrible, terrible offensive player. He can't shoot. He can't score in the post. He can't draw fouls. Every possession that Vooch has the ball and takes a shot is like you're losing like a quarter point versus like anyone else doing it. And so that he's just awful. And then defensively, he's one of the worst in the league at his position. So you're just paying him $20 million to rebound and just make your offense worse.
I can't believe you're going to make me defend Vooch. But I don't think he is, compared relative to other centers, a terrible offensive force in terms of, I do think he has a decent mid-range. I do think, I know that's not an efficient shot. I know he's not an efficient center, but I do agree that sets good picks. He is the best back tapper in the league. I'm going to start calling him the great tipper. He does that well, and he does pass well for the center position.
None of that helps you that much.
I don't think he's terrible.
He's terrible.
I think he's passing on it.
He is. He's just terrible. Andre Drummond getting you like offensive rebounds probably does more for you on offense than all of Vooch's passing combined.
Yeah.
And Andre Drummond scores more efficiently than Vooch. And Andre Drummond actually gives you about as much volume as Vooch. Per minute, he gives you as many points as Vooch does on more efficient offense. And like, yeah, you wouldn't, and he does it without a bunch of touches, which actually frees all your good players to have the ball.
Yeah, and there is a little bit, I feel, a little bit of selfishness with Vooch that isn't really discussed, and you saw it with the stanchion throw. Like, I don't think he should be touching the ball in the fourth. He's not a closer. He's not a guy. I've never felt good with him with the ball in the last 5 minutes.
Of course, because he's like the worst offensive efficiency player on the team. He's like less likely to score than literally every other guy.
But this isn't a win topic because most of our fan base doesn't agree with that.
No, it doesn't matter. It's a true topic. So let me tie this back to your point. Our three best players are not Vooch, DeMar, and Zach. Like, I don't know who you think our three best players are, but two of them are Kobe White and Alex Caruso. We can argue about who the third guy is. It's either DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine. But, like, Vooch is not one of our top three players. Like, you would take Zach, Kobe, and DeMar over Vooch, would you not? You're going to say all three of those guys? How about Caruso?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, at best, Vooch is like
terms
our
of
best.
Impacting winning.
He's our fifth best player. I mean, and so.
In terms of trade value.
In terms of trade value, I don't think you could even dump Vooch for an expiring.
Yeah, you'd have to attach a.
Yeah, no one wants
to get his carcass off the roster.
Anyway, sorry. So, I think one of the things I would love to change the narrative on for people talking about the team, they've got to stop talking about it. Like, the big three is like Zach, DeMar, and Vooch. Those are not our three best guys. They just aren't. Like, it's just a dead narrative. It's not even close. And we all know it's not close. If you ask any Bulls fan to, like, hey, actually think about it. You had to keep three guys in this team, and you could ignore salary. Which three would you keep? No one would pick those three guys.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great question. Who would you keep?
If I could ignore salary, and it was just to win for 1 year, and we assume everyone is healthy except, you know, like Lonzo because he's just out for the season, I would probably keep Caruso, Kobe, and Zach. If we ignore salary and it's 1 year.
I'd still probably go with DeMar.
Yeah, I think.
I still think DeMar has a tremendous value. And I think he hasn't played as well as he has in the last 2 years, but he's still a very good player. Like, even against the Lakers, that was the best I thought he played all year. Yeah. I thought he was incredible in that game.
If you could assume Zach is healthy, I'd take him over DeMar. I mean, Zach's not healthy this year and he's had a bad year, but he's still more efficient than DeMar in the year. He's scoring almost the same. And he spaces the floor, and it's going to be easy to fit Zach next to people that you can't fit DeMar next to because DeMar needs the ball in his hands. But whatever, Zach's not healthy, and I know everyone hates Zach right now. So whatever, Zach has sucked this year, so it makes sense. But DeMar has also sucked this year, and so has Vooch. Like, all three of them have sucked this year.
All good points. So in terms of trade value, though, I do want to talk about this, like, I was debating this with a friend recently. I don't think it's even close. Like, if you wanted to trade one of the players today, the most you could get in return would be for Kobe White.
Not even close.
Due to the fact that his contract, number one, and with all the concerns about the second apron, like, you're getting a very good to great player on a bargain deal for the next 3 years. So you should be able to get, like, significant assets for Kobe White. Who's number two?
It's probably Caruso.
I agree. Yeah,
for much the same reasons.
Number three.
It's interesting to me because I think you could almost make a case that number three is Andre Drummond. Like, some team that's just like, I need a center who could play, you know, 20 minutes a game every night and could play 30 if I need him. It can add some real value. And also, I'm in the second apron and I can't take on any salary. Like, Andre Drummond has real value. Like, if Kristaps Porzingis, I don't know, he rolled his ankle the other day and it looked kind of bad.
He's out for a while.
I don't know how long he's out for, and I didn't do any follow-up. He may even already be back for all I know. But, like, if Boston lost Porzingis for, like, a period of time, and they're like, oh, crap, we need a center, and we're also, like, deep into this, like, tax thing, like, Andre Drummond on his contract is probably a godsend for them. You know, so I think he might have value. I think Zach has more value.
I think DeMar has value.
I think Zach has more value if you find the right team, but clearly we've been looking. There's not a lot out there. I don't think DeMar has any value, really.
Well, see, well, here's where I disagree with you. Zach, agreed. We all know there's the trade market has not been great for him, but that's because teams are so scared of getting into the second apron, and he just makes a ton of money for multiple years. DeMar DeRozan's still a very good player. He's on an expiring deal. He doesn't make that much. Makes 20-some million. Like, to me, if you're a contender, like, if I were the Sixers, I would absolutely be looking into, should we bring in DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah.
He could help that team. I think he has value for contenders that are looking for a good vet who can get points in the half court. And I think DeMar's value is being understated by the Bulls Nation.
I think.
That's my opinion.
That might be true. That might be true. The counter argument, and I'm not sure where I stand on it, but the counter argument is like, all right, well, you're only going to get him for 1 year. How much are you going to give up for 1 year? And then, like, his primary skill of being, like, an ISO scorer, like, how valuable is that to teams that are contending? Like, how many of them need an ISO scorer? Like, most of them are looking for 3-and-D things, and DeMar adds neither of those. I can't remember where I saw the list. It was probably on ESPN, and it was like, here are all the teams and what they're looking for in trade. And it was like every single one of the contenders was like wing defender. There was not a single one of those teams looking for, like, scorers. And so, you know, that it made you really think about the trade market for Zach and DeRozan in that way. Like, I just don't think anyone needs what those guys bring. Like, the teams that are, like, contenders, they're just looking for 3-and-D guys who complement their star players. They're contenders because they already have the scoring figured out. What you say?
Do you think the Lakers and Sixers have the scoring figured out for the playoffs when it gets into the half court? I don't.
Well, the Lakers are not a legit contender.
Absolutely would.
The Lakers suck.
Ooh.
What are they, like, ninth? I mean, like, the Lakers are like the Bulls of the West. Like, the only reason anyone talks about them as contenders is because they're the Lakers and LeBron and AD are on the team. But they're not really good.
And what happened last year?
Yeah.
What happened last
fair
year?
Fair point.
The playoffs turned on.
Fair point.
You know,
but they're like a paper tiger. Like, anyway, I don't think the Lakers are a legit contender. But I don't know that DeMar would help the Lakers if he was there. I mean, depending what you have to send to get him, like, is he going to help you more than D'Angelo Russell? I don't know. You know, like, the 76ers, yeah, I could see them needing one more scorer, but I don't know. Either way, what do you think the Bulls will do this trade deadline?
One more player we didn't mention.
One more player.
Io.
Sure.
I think Io has legitimate trade value.
Yeah, I think that's significant. I think that's maybe true. I don't think it'd be, like, massive, but yeah, I think teams would look at Io and say, good young player, reasonable contract, had a good bounce back year, still some upside. You know, can fill in a lot of gaps.
Agreed. So, but big picture, when you look up and down this roster, that's the problem, is so much of what they have, so much of their salary is being put into players that have zero trade value. Lonzo Ball, you know, not zero, but approaching zero. Zach LaVine, Vooch. Vooch has zero trade value. Like, there's $60, $70 million wrapped up in players that have zero. You can't move for anything without attaching an asset to it. That's the issue. Your question, sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. You had a quick question before we move on to the last
topic.
Said,
what do you think they're going to do at the deadline?
I think they're going to make a move like what's being discussed in The Athletic. I think they will move Zach, and I think it's going to be for, like, a role player, maybe a second rounder, just basically to get off his salary and to get him off the roster. And I think 2 years from now, we'll look back and be like, oh my gosh, was that a dumb move? I do feel like Zach LaVine, if he goes to Philadelphia, if he goes to the Lakers, will play very well. I think he'll approach what he did last year in the second half of the year, and we'll all look back and say, why didn't it work out? And it didn't work out because this team has horrible geometry on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, can't imagine who complained about any of that for years. I think they're going to do nothing. I think they're going to do nothing. I think they'll look for a Zach trade and they won't find one, and they'll just stand pat. Part of me just thinks if they could just get Bogdanovich for LaVine, like they might just do it and be like, all right. Like, especially if things are negative with Zach in the locker room and whatever, they might do it as like, all right, we're just going to get better culturally. Bogdanovich is definitely going to help us. And, you know, we'll be better. He'll improve, like you said, a lot of the fit on the floor. And I think that might be true. Though Zach, when he came back before he got hurt again, I thought he looked pretty good fitting in. You know, he wasn't trying to take over. He was trying to play this more minor role.
I thought he looked great.
He was letting Kobe do his thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I think Zach has shown, like, hey, well, I was out. I was watching how things were better. And he came back in with a mentality towards fitting in and not trying to be the man or trying to force anything. I think, like, Zach gets, like, a bad rep on, like, some of this stuff that just seems a little unfair. It's kind of like a guy who's just been here too long and there's too much baggage. And now people are like, well, we'll just let him go. I don't think we'll regret losing LaVine. Like, I don't think there's a world where Zach plays so well that you're like, man, he's worth $60 million and we could have had him for $40. Like, I think there's a world where he's worth his contract. But, like, I don't think you'll be like, well, geez, we could never get a... Like, it's like the Wizards losing Bradley Beal, like, in comparison. Like, yeah, maybe Bradley Beal will be worth his contract on the Suns, and he's played a little well after finally getting back on the court. But, like, I don't think the Wizards are going, oh, man, I wish we had that back. You know, like, and I think it'll be the same with Zach. Like, even if he leaves and he might find some success, and, you know, I hope he does if he does leave. I mean, I hope he finds success here if he stays. but yeah, I don't think we'll look back ever and regret it one way or the other. Like, I don't think there's going to be a big enough swing in what LaVine does that you're like, this is an all-timer like Butler where we're still bitching about it like 6 years later, or some people are. I don't think Zach's going to end up in that boat.
And on that note, I have to bring the big red bus in. I got a hard stop and rest my... Until next time, let's go Bulls.
Go Bulls.